I have to admit that tears can come quite easy, especially when I see a reunion video on Facebook. I'm not just talking about any reunion video. I'm talking about one of those surprise videos where a mom or a dad who is in the service show up and they surprise their spouse or they surprise their children or they surprise their parents. If you ever come to my house and I'm sitting in my chair and I got my computer open and tears start flowing down, you're probably thinking, hey, he's watching some of those videos again. It just seems absolutely overwhelming to me, especially when a dad shows up for his daughter's graduation at the graduation ceremony, or someone shows up in a refrigerator box on Christmas and they open the box and find their parent in the box. I mean, just amazing things. And whether it's a special occasion or it's someone showing up at a workplace, it's just that moment of reunion that absolutely stirs my heart and just can bring water to my eyes. You know, those surprise visits work out wonderfully well, at least the ones we see on the video. They're a surprise, but they're a happy surprise. For those of us who know the Lord, there is going to be that day, and it may be somewhat surprising on the timetable, but there is going to be that moment when we meet the Lord. And it's going to be a happy, wonderful reunion. But for many who are not ready when the Lord comes, it will not be a happy reunion. If you're not certain if Jesus would show up in your life today or you would go to meet him today, if you're not certain that it would be a happy time for you and where you stand with him, then I want to ask you today, would you perk your ears up and open up your heart today? Because the time is really now for us to be ready for Jesus. Take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. And keep your Bibles open in Matthew 24. We're going to look at several verses, but I'm just going to read one. Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 44. I just want to read the last verse. Matthew 24 and verse number 44. And it says this, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." Be ready. Jesus is coming when you may not expect him. And with that, let's pray. God, I ask that you would speak to us today and challenge our hearts. Lord, for those who may not be ready, I pray today that they would open up their heart and life and receive you. For those of us who are believers and we know that Christ is in our life, I pray that, again, the truth of this in being spiritually ready, Lord, that we would be doing what we need to be doing as we watch for your return. In your name, amen. In Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 1, as Jesus is walking away from the temple, he tells the disciples that the temple, this beautiful place of worship, is going to be torn down and going to be a pile of rubble, where the stones that are stacked on top of each other are not going to be stacked on top of each other anymore. It's just going to be a pile of rubble looking like some kind of disaster came through. And sure enough, in 70 AD, that absolutely happened, and the temple was decimated. But we're back in Jesus' life in around 30 AD or so, as Jesus says, guys, I want you to know this temple is coming down. And then the disciples ask this question. They say, Lord, what are the signs of your coming? And what are the signs of the end of the age? And in Matthew chapter 24, Jesus then begins to expound on some of the signs of his coming and the signs of the end of the age. In verse number 8, he gives the picture that there is this going to be this increasing sorrow. And the word that is used there for sorrow gives the picture of birth pains. And those of you who are mamas in here know that as you begin to have contractions, that before the baby comes, those contractions grow in intensity and in frequency. And so just as if Jesus draws that word picture for us, he's saying, look, there's some things, some painful things that are going to happen that are going to increase in intensity and in frequency before the coming of the Son of Man, before the Lord comes. And he lays out seven of them for us in Matthew chapter 24. First, he tells us in verse number 5 and verse number 11 that before the Son of Man comes, that there is going to be false prophets and false Christs who rise up. There's going to be this proliferation of wrongful prophets and false Christs who come on the scene. They're going to seek to deceive those using religion as a cover. But there's not only that. He says in verse number 6, you're going to hear about wars and rumors of war. And nations are going to be rising up against nations. And we see this all over our world today. As a matter of fact, you can trace history by looking at war and battles and what nation fought who and conquered who. And you can look at history through the lens of war. Then he says in verse number 7 that famine is going to come and earthquakes are going to happen. As we move further in verse number 9, he says there's going to be the persecution of believers. And from what I've read recently, there were more Christians killed for their faith in 2015 than any other year known to mankind. Then in verse number 12, he says that lawlessness is going to increase and abound. And man, we see that every day. And then in verse number 14, he says, and the gospel will be preached to all the world. And through computers, internet, transworld radio, we find that throughout the whole world, the gospel is being preached. Jesus says that look, these seven things are going to happen and they're going to grow in intensity and in frequency. And these are signs that he is coming. You know, sometimes we hear that we are to try to expect the unexpected. You know, your boss tells you, hey, man, you've got to anticipate those things. You have to expect the unexpected. Can I tell you, as believers, we need to expect the expected, that Jesus is going to come. And as we pick up in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36 through 44, we find the whole theme is going to center around that thought, am I ready for Jesus to come? Am I ready for the coming of Jesus? And am I living like he is coming? Man, that's a great question that all of us need to plod over in our heart and our mind. Am I truly living like Jesus is coming? So this morning, as we think about the coming of Jesus, I want to share three truths with you that we draw out of this passage. First, we find in verse number 36, that no one knows when the Son of Man is going to come. No one knows when Jesus is going to come. Notice back up with me in verse number 36. He says this, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels. Some of your newer translations, because of newer documents that have found, say, nor the Son, but my Father only. He gives the picture that no one knows when the Lord is going to come. He first shows us that man does not know. Now, you might read books that say, hey, we know that Jesus is coming here or there. But let me just tell you, those are books. Those are men's opinions. The Lord says no one knows when the Lord is going to come. No one. Not that person on radio or Christian TV or that book that you've read. No one knows when the Lord will come. Then he tells us that the angels do not know when the Lord will come. Those who minister to the Lord face to face and who are in his presence or may come to earth and do his bidding and servitude here on the earth, the angels that are in the presence of the Lord do not even know when the Lord is coming. And then he gives that picture that the Son does not even know. Now, there's a theological challenge with that. Obviously, we would say, and we know that Jesus is fully God and fully man. And yet, there were areas of subordination and temporary restrictions that Jesus placed upon himself while he stepped into humanity. For instance, before Jesus stepped into humanity, we know that as part of the Godhead, he was absolutely omnipresent. And yet, when he took on flesh and bone and took on eyeballs and elbows and knees and toes, that he was at one place at one time in that one body. So the picture is that maybe there was a temporary restriction or act of subordination underneath the Father. But in Matthew 28:18, Jesus says, "All authority has been given to me on heaven, in heaven and on earth." So I will tell you, I believe he knows now. And there is coming a day when he is going to come. When we were kids, we would play hide and seek, and you know, you'd count off so many Mississippis or however you did it in your day. And then you'd yell, "Ready or not, here I come." And that call, "Ready or not, here I come," would give those that were hidden the opportunity to know you were on your way. Can I tell you? The Lord has already said there are 7 signs that say, "Ready or not, here I come." They're already placed for us. You don't need to be looking for anything else to take place. We understand and fully know that as the world and false Christs and false prophets rise up, we already know that where there are wars and rumors of war and famines and earthquakes and persecution and lawlessness and the gospel preached, we already see all these signs taking place around us. So Jesus does not need to yell, "Ready or not, here I come." But the truth is, ready or not, he's coming. And you need to be ready. No one knows when the Lord will come. The second thought that we see in this passage is that many will not be ready when the Lord comes. Many will not be ready. That is shown for us in the scripture. Notice what we see picking up in verse number 37. "But as the days of Noah were so also, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." What does he say? Many will not be ready when the Lord comes. That is illustrated in history through the picture of Noah. Noah preached and built. He shared the message of God's impending judgment coming upon the earth. And he built an ark. And he worked. And day after day and year after year and 25 years later and 50 years later and 100 and 200. Listen, everyone in the whole area and quite possibly those throughout the surrounding countries around them and maybe throughout the whole world had heard about this crazy dude who's building an ark larger than a football field out in the middle of a dry, arid climate. And he says, and the people weren't ready. Instead, they were marrying and giving in marriage. They were eating and drinking. They were having their parties. They were living their life. They were probably raising their children and burying their grandparents. And they were working and eating. And they were experiencing the joy of a couple who got married over here. And then they would watch the pain of a divorce over here. And life was just cruising through. While down the road, there's an ark being built. And a message going out. Turn to God. Repent. Judgment is coming. Wake up. Be ready. Illustrated in history. People say, man, if we just had a sign. Listen, they had a sign. They had this huge mammoth ark and people didn't believe. But it's not only illustrated in history. Let me tell you, it is predicted in the future. Notice the following verses and the soberness that we find in these verses. It is predicted in the future. And listen, the Lord Jesus did not just give us one illustration like he did in the past. Now he lays out 5 illustrations to remind us and to challenge us to be ready for Jesus to come. 5 of them. 5 illustrations to be ready. Notice what he says. Pick up with me in verse number 40. 2 men will be in the field. 1 will be taken and the other left. 2 women will be grinding at the mill. 1 will be taken and the other left. "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broke into." What does he say? There's going to be two in the field. One is ready, the other is not. There's going to be two sleeping. One is ready, one is not. That third illustration, he says, man, there's this guy who has a house, but he doesn't know when the thief is going to show up. And so he's not watching his house. And the thief shows up at a time he does not expect it. The picture is there will be many that will not be ready. Though the Lord has laid out the call, though many, especially across the United States, know that there is a Jesus who died on the cross and that he is coming, many will not be ready. Then he moves on with a further illustration beginning in verse number 45. I won't read it because it's long, but in verse 45, he begins an illustration about an evil servant who was entrusted with his master's household. And instead of taking care of the household and watching for the master return, instead he beats the servants and doesn't take care of business. And then the master shows up and there's judgment. And then in Matthew chapter 25, beginning in verse number 1 through verse number 13, we find the story of 10 virgins or 10 young women. And they are called to go and get ready for the bridegroom. And they have their lamps and they're supposed to have oil with them. But five of them do not have oil for their lamps. They are not ready. Now listen how he drives home the point in Matthew chapter 25 and verse number 13. "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Five illustrations. Five times for us to take heed. Look, there are two in the field, one's ready. There are two sleeping, one's ready. There's a master of the house who's not paying attention and a thief breaks in and steals. There's an evil servant who's entrusted with the household and instead of taking care of business, he beats the servants, lives life his own way, and the master shows up. He's not ready for him to show up. And then the story of the 10 young women. Five of them do not have oil in their lamps and they are not ready to light their candle and they are not ready. And the picture is reminded to us today, are you ready? Because there are those who are not ready. 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 He drives it home five times in this passage. Are you ready? Calvin and Hobbes, the cartoon. Calvin's boss walks by and says, "Calvin," as he's sitting at his desk just staring out the window, "why aren't you working?" He said, "because I didn't expect that you were coming." The picture is, hey, if the boss isn't there, I don't have to be busy. And I'm not expecting him to show up. Can I challenge you? There is coming a time when Jesus is going to show up. And the question for our life is, are you ready? The question for your heart today is, are you ready? Third truth and challenge is this. You must be ready when the Lord comes. No one knows. No one knows when the Lord is going to come. Many will not be ready when the Lord comes. But the challenge to us today is you must be ready. See, there is going to come a time when you stand before the Lord. And he's going to say, look, on January the 31st, 2016, didn't you hear a message that you were to be ready? Then why weren't you ready? Why didn't you do something? There are no excuses. You can't say, oh, it was my wife or my kids or my schedule or my work and they distracted me. No. See, you must be ready. First, you must be ready spiritually. You must be ready spiritually. That's most important. See, the truth is that Jesus has already shared with his disciples what's going to happen. He's already prophesied what's going to happen, that he is going to die on the cross for sin. The book of Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus came, already told us what was going to happen. that upon him our sin would be laid when he would die on the cross. And Jesus died. Listen, all of us at some time in our life have thought something, said something, or done something that displeases God. And because of that, we're disqualified from a perfect heaven with God. And because of that, being disqualified from a perfect heaven with God, there is someone who had to pave the way if we were going to have fellowship with God. And what he did is he faced God's justice when he died on the cross to take the penalty for our sin. But he showed God's love by living that life, dying on the cross, rising from the dead, and offering you forgiveness. Are you ready spiritually? Maybe some of you say, well, I know that I've trusted Jesus in my life, and you've taken that step. Have you taken the next step? Have you said, yes, Lord? Not as part of my salvation experience. That comes through belief and trust alone. Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. But as an act of obedience and to stay and walk according to your will, Lord, I want to follow you in believer's baptism and say yes to that next step. Lord, I want to say yes to reading my Bible this year. I'll be excited as you continue on through this week and you run into this Matthew 24 passage. You say, yes, Lord, I need to step out and use my gifts to sing. Yes, Lord, I need to step out and to volunteer to serve. Yes, Lord, I need to take that step of faith and give like I should. Are you ready spiritually? But secondly, you have to look. You must be ready personally or individually. You know, you can't look at your wife and say, I think she's pretty well ready, so I'm going to hold her hand. My son and I, for Luke's 20th birthday, we went to Tucano's, the Brazilian restaurant here over on Fifth Street. It's a great place to eat. We enjoyed it very much. I don't eat chicken hearts, but anyway, the rest of it is all pretty good to me. But here's what we did. Because it was his birthday, it's buy one, get one free. So dad buys and he gets one free. It's a perfect solution for a college student. Can I tell you, there is no buy one, get one free in heaven and to heaven. You have to be ready individually and personally. You don't get to lean on the faith of your parents and look back at your preacher grandpa. You don't get to look back at a lineage of deacons or Sunday school teachers or folks involved in music. You stand before the Lord one on one. And in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 12, it says that each one of us must give an account of himself to the Lord. Hey, you're on your own. It is you and your God. And some of you, that makes you uncomfortable. And let me tell you, it should. Third truth is that you must be ready continually. Let me just make it very, very easy and very simple. If you're ready today, then you'll be excited for him to show up. And if you're ready for him tomorrow, and you're ready for him next week, and you just wake up every day ready for him, and you're ready continually, there will never be that time when you're unprepared to meet the Lord. Whether there is a tragedy and you go meet the Lord through the means of death, or whether he comes and you meet him in the air. The truth is, in Matthew chapter 24, what I think Jesus is talking about is something that takes place after the removal and rapture of the church. I think the next thing that is going to happen for us as believers is that Jesus is going to show up on a cloud, and those who are alive and remain are going to be caught up to meet him in the air. And those who have died already in the Lord are going to rise up from their grave and meet him in the air. And through this time of tribulation, we're going to find that false Christ and false prophets and the rise of the Antichrist is going to swell and swell. And the intensity and frequency of pain upon this earth is going to grow. And there's going to be wars. And there's going to be famine and earthquakes. And for those who come to know the Lord at that time, there's going to be great persecution. And yet, as lawlessness abounds, the message of the gospel will continue to be preached. You're in Matthew chapter 24. Take your Bibles and look over just a couple of chapters to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 24 and 25, Jesus is sharing. This is called the Olivet Discourse. But in Matthew chapter 26, pick up with me in verse number 26. Here now Jesus is in the upper room with the disciples. He is nearing that point of his death. And notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 26 as we lead into the Lord's Supper today. It says, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them saying, 'Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" Jesus goes over with his disciples the message again. Listen, my body is going to be beaten and my blood is going to be shed so that men and women can have forgiveness, remission of sins. The only way we can be forgiven of sins is through experiencing the death of Christ and knowing and trusting he died on the cross for me and rose again. And he's saying, look, this picture of this bread and this fruit of the vine or this wine, this picture is a picture of my blood in my body that is going to be decimated and beaten and bruised and my blood which is going to be shed. But interesting, notice as he gives that picture of death, notice the next verse, verse number 29. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." You know what Jesus is saying? My blood is going to be shed and my body is going to be broken, but one day we will celebrate again that I have come and we have met and you are here because of the cross. There were three great, overwhelming, awesome promises that Jesus made before he died. He made the promise in Matthew 16, "I will build my church." That was a promise he made. The other promise that he made in John 14, 15, and 16 was, "I will send my Holy Spirit." He is going to be a comforter. Promise number one and promise number two were fulfilled on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. As the Holy Spirit came down and many came to know the Lord and the church was born. And for 2,000 years, the church and the kingdom have been expanding and growing. But listen, there's one more promise that Jesus has made. "I will come again." And he has not broken any promise, nor will he ever break a promise. And Jesus is coming. So let me ask you, are you living like Jesus is coming? Do you know for certain that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Do you know for certain that if this was your last day upon this earth as we know it, that you would be with him? Do you have that confidence in your life? If not, would you nail it down today? Some of you, you've gone through baptism and all the membership stuff, and you've taught and you've led. Maybe you've sung. Maybe you've even preached. Do you have that assurance that Jesus is in my life? You or call yourself a believer. Are you walking with him? Are you ready for him to return? You know what I found? Growing up from experience, as a disobedient kid, I was never excited for my dad to come home. Are you looking for his return? Are you ready?